This is the Super Sports Schools Podcast, bringing you stories of our future stars, powered by Spur Steak Ranchers.
One, two, three, go!
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Super Sports Schools Podcast, brought to you by Spur. Now, here on the Super Sports Schools Podcast, you know that we talk about a lot of sports. And today we're adding another one to that list. We're going to be talking about esports. And joining me is the co-founder of ACGL, Nick Holden. Nick, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me here. Really, really excited to be on with you and actually talking about my favorite topic, esports.
Awesome. So we're going to dive into the state of the game, what esports is like in South Africa at the moment. But just before we get to that, tell me a little bit about yourself, ACGL, and how you've got involved in esports.
So it actually started with me trying to chase becoming a professional sports person, a footballer, to be honest, and that didn't work out for me. So started playing a little bit more games, started competing, but then started to realize that the ceiling was almost too low. Like, if you're the best player in South Africa, it didn't mean too much at the time, specifically for the game that I was playing. So I said, you know what, we need more opportunities, started hosting tournaments. That led on to me working for an ISP to be able to host their tournaments, then led to the creation of ACGL in 2015. From that side of things, we've been going strong. Ultimately, our main goal is to be able to structure and grow esports across sub-Saharan Africa and even further. But yeah, that's what our main goal is. And I've been involved now for esports, at least working for around about 12 years. So yeah, just trying to grow the space and trying to provide more opportunities for our players so we can actually represent on the international stage.
Cool. So you've obviously been involved in esports for quite a long time. What is the state of the game in South Africa at the moment? If we look at school sports specifically, I know when I was at school, I was in an all-boys school, so some of the guys were pushing quite hard to get a team started for the school. And I think it kind of happened in our matric year as we left school, and I know they've done quite well, but how does it look in South Africa at the moment as a sport?
So I think your story actually resonates with a couple of others in terms of schools trying to be able to get it going. There's been a lot of stigma around esports in the schooling space, specifically actually before the pandemic, because people just saw it as an activity that you'd be wasting your time to be able to do. You'd just be playing games. But what they started to then see is that when they were at home, it was actually a structured environment to be able to communicate, to socialize. I mean, that's where people went when we couldn't go outside. We went onto our games, we hanged out with our friends, our colleagues, and we started to talk and interact with them. I think it did a lot for the scene in terms of that two-year period to kind of change people's minds, and especially in the schooling space. I think coming out of the pandemic, we realized that there was such a big demand in the side of the schooling space, specifically coming from the students themselves, to be able to just have a structured way to be able to play. They've been watching for 2 years now, all of these players playing on the international scene, big trophies, big prize pools. They wanted a part of that action. So schools have really come to the fore, and that's where we've really dug our heels in deep. We've done a lot of activations actually before then. We actually, I think, were at Rondebosch at one point in time, to one of the schools, and actually a couple of schools around the Western Cape, just showing the word of esports. But further from that, I think people are now coming to us, which is nice, but it's also there's still so much groundwork to do in terms of the space. In terms of the state of play, there's a huge demand, more structures needed, more opportunities needed, and we just want to be able to provide a spotlight on the scene more and more.
So as more schools get involved, there's going to be more leagues and competitions around the country and more people taking part, and that's hopefully going to grow. But taking a step back, you spoke about the stigma.
Yes.
So to break some of the myths and the stereotypes, take us through some of those benefits. You were talking a bit about the communication, and I mean, I know from playing the teamwork and working well under pressure, all sorts of things there.
I find, especially in the schooling space, because these teachers or the coaches that are part of it, they might not know esports that well. So what does this mean? They're actually giving the students a lot more agency to create strategies, to create the rules, to learn how to be able to figure it out for themselves, which I think is vitally important, something that we don't see enough of. Further from that, we also seen players coming out of their shells in terms of the schooling space, actually having a space for them to compete and play. They might not always find that in the traditional sports environment. And when it comes down to esports, it allows them to be able to socialize and connect with shared interests. But that being said, we're also now seeing a transition between those that love playing sports and they also love gaming too. So it's just a nice space to be able to see this, not as something that you would shy away from even talking about in the schooling environment, and something that people are actually feeling proud of, representing their school, getting onto the main stage. So that brings pride, it brings communication, it brings them, as I mentioned, that sense of agency and strategy. And ultimately, it's also just a space for them to grow a friends group, which is, I think, is also vitally important.
I think what we talk a lot about at Super Sports Schools is giving people their opportunity or their time to shine. And at a school, if there's sports culture, adding esports to that, that's just another way for somebody to excel, to find a place where they can hone their specific craft. That growth in schools that you've spoken about, obviously, it is going to just get bigger over time, but it's not where it could be yet. So what sort of things are being done to help grow school sport, particularly from an ACGL perspective?
So from us, it's all about structure, first and foremost. Giving an entry point in terms of schools to be able to play, absolutely free in terms of that entry point as well, which we stress is vitally important. But not only that, providing materials across to the teachers, to the schools, to be able to learn a little bit more about the not only the benefits, but should you want to run your own tournaments, your own events. We don't believe that we should be the arbiters of creating all tournaments from our side of things. We, if anything, want to be able to provide those tools to the operators themselves inside of the school spaces to be able to do that. And I think as long as we keep on doing that, we know that the demand is there. That will create more growth, and more growth essentially will also resonate with the channels that, I mean, I'm really so honored to be able to be with you guys on Super Sports Schools here today. And I think even just this attention does a lot to be able to further grow the space.
It's something that really excites me because actually, and a lot of people won't know this, one of the episodes we did last year was an episode on chess. And that also has faced the same problems with having stigmas that people say, well, it's not a sport, but, and yet they compete against other schools and it's competitive. And so they still actively take part and it's wonderful. Our most watched episode last year on this show was our chess episode. And it involved me playing chess blindfolded against Yashil Modi, who's a FIDE master. And he was in matric last year, part of our class of 2023. He was blindfolded. I wasn't, actually. And it was basically just to see how quickly he could beat me. And I lasted maybe like 120 seconds or something. But that's another thing is that people might think of esports and automatically think of like Fortnite or different full-on video games, but there's also chess. Yeah. You can play against people in different parts of the country. It's much easier for a school in the Western Cape to play against a school in Gauteng in chess than any other sport because you just need an internet connection and you don't need a computer with hundreds of gigabytes of RAM.
Exactly right. And I think that's the beauty of esports and also why thrive during that period where we couldn't go outside, we couldn't play. And from a little bit of a step forward of what we want to do with that is that, yes, we want to provide the ground for them to be able to compete on a regular basis online. But I think the gathering point of bringing these people and these players together is also vitally important. It's like, we know that there's more cultural building that needs to take place. These schools being able to see each other face to face. At the moment, they only see each other as an avatar online from time to time. So when they actually get to see one another, it's a big moment. And then they start to interact, they grow friendship groups, they might even grow rivalries as we have in the schooling space. But I think ultimately, from our side of things, we just want to be able to promote that responsible competition. But as you pointed out, in terms of online, it's a great space to be able to do it. And you just need your connectivity. You can even play chess on your phone at this point in time in terms of online. I think it's a great opportunity for the players.
So as you've seen all of this grow, what have been some of the most exciting moments for you kind of on the timeline of esports growth in South Africa, particularly within schools?
That's a big one. So I'm an old boy of Porus. I was very sporty and that school itself is very sporty, but they've embraced esports in a big way. We've also been trying to help them with some of their structures and setting up. So one of the big moments for me was when Gray PE actually went down to Porus and they filled out this hall with all of the players. So you had all the Gray PE essentially spectators and even the cheerleaders on the one side and the Porus on the other. And they were supporting the Rocket League players and they made one hell of a noise. They were screaming at the top of their lungs. They were supporting their players. And for me, that was a take a step back moment and realize that this is on the rise, it's growing, and there's people that are dedicated to the space. And those players on the stage would have never had that feeling necessarily somewhere else, but they had it there where they ended up scoring that goal and felt that pride for their school representing for esports. And that's what it was about. So that was a big moment for us on that side of things. And ultimately, there's been a couple of spotlight moments, whether that be our activations around the country where it's just providing a safe space for kids to be able to play and connect in terms of being able to make some friends. So There's moments after moment after moment, and I'm sure that there's going to be more to come. But for me, the poorer side of things, and also their recent decision to actually get basically an esports lab where they've got 37 PCs across their esports and gaming and kind of general IT facility, which is a huge moment. I mean, I couldn't even believe the opportunity if you're actually in school and then you get to either during recess or if you want to be able to play after school, actually enjoy playing some competitive gaming.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's very cool that it's grown in such a big way and that you can go into a hall and have all of that screaming and shouting and the camaraderie and the vibe that we get, the fierce from South African school sport translating into esports. So that's fantastic. I do want to ask you a bit about some of the success stories we've had out of South Africa on the biggest stage. But just before we get to that, because I think it leads into it, what are the barriers to entry? And obviously barriers to entry is not unique to esports. Lots of sports that South Africans love, like cricket, high barrier to entry with equipment, costs, all of that. That's why football's so popular, because it has a very low barrier to entry. So like many sports, esports does have a barrier to entry. So what are the challenges then, and how is it changing? Because I mean, you mentioned that you can play chess on your phone. Yeah. So obviously for that, in that case, there's a much lower barrier to entry. So
barriers to entry is something that we actually talk about quite a lot, specifically in the South African environment. Now, when it comes down to schools, traditionally they focus towards a more PC-orientated titles, whereas mobile gaming is having a little bit more of a surge on that side of things. Console gaming, especially with EA FC or what you might know as FIFA. Now, when it comes down to those barriers, equipment is the most expensive thing that you're going to be able to deal with, internet costs. But I think the biggest thing in terms of a barrier to entry in terms of South African market is that I believe we have around about 40% of the population of South Africa actually plays games in some way, shape or form, whether that be Sudoku on your phone, all the way to playing chess, all the way to playing Call of Duty on your console, which means that there's a huge population base of players ready to be able to go. But I think the biggest hindrance is actually our mobile data costs. So data in South Africa, I think we're the top 13 most expensive data prices in South Africa across the board, or in Africa as a total. And as soon as we start to see that drop, we'll actually see a surge of gamers being able to enter and consistently play in the market. And I think from that side of things, that's what I get excited about. Because, I mean, if I refer to Porus, for example, having 37 PCs, can you imagine if they didn't have an internet connection to be able to play? Now, in South African terms, we have 2 smartphones per South African citizen, actually as a populace, which means that pretty much a wider part of our population has access to be able to play on their phone, be it a competitive game of their choice. So as soon as we have that data price decrease, we're going to see a very similar situation to what happened in India, where as soon as they dropped data prices, there was this surge of gamers that entered the market and essentially started to be able to make them compete up against some of the biggest esports nations in the world.
No, that's fantastic. And I hope that's the way we go in the future, because there is so much opportunity with different games from mobile to console, like you say, for different people to be involved. And I think often when people think of esports, there'll be the stigma of just PC-based games sitting in a lab, where actually it can be so much more than that. But I said this was going to lead into my next question, which is about where esports can take you, or where you can go after school, because I think there'll be a lot of people quite interested in that. And then if you have any examples of maybe South African success stories, if there are any.
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few South African success stories, but let's maybe just focus a little bit of where it can take you. Ultimately, being a gamer in South Africa means a couple of things. So yes, you can try be able to be as professional or as the top tier as you can. And that's where you're actually seeing some universities handing out bursaries now to esports players to be able to enter this space. We've actually even seen some schools that have found some really good youngster players to be able to get involved with their high school teams as well. So there's basically an educational opportunity for you to be able to pay less for your schooling fees, ultimately at the end of the day, for being able to be involved with esports, which is huge. But I think a little bit further from that, I can talk from my personal experience, is that growing into esports or into gaming, I wanted to be able to create videos and put that out there. So starting to learn a little bit more about video editing, then you start to learn maybe about commentary and that side of things. And there's the journalism aspect to that, and being able to create shorts and being able to create content around that. And I'll be quite frank, I was chatting a little bit earlier, I was in Stellenbosch University and I was studying my BCom marketing and that side of things. I never finished my degree. I decided to chase this esports dream. And I think what has actually fundamentally helped me is gaming, because being a co-owner of a business, you start to learn a little bit more about resource management, the strategy of how you're going to effectively challenge or take on your next task. And I think gaming is sometimes underrated in that, in terms of being able to learn about income flows or resource flows and how you can utilize that strategically to be able to make your next decision in business operations. You're doing that when you're playing StarCraft. You're doing that when you're playing Warcraft. There's so many aspects. This is a growing industry, and we've seen growth in terms of traditional jobs being able to come into this model more and more. And I think that's only going to grow as long as the demand grows. And we already seen in terms of the schooling space that demand is growing, not only just from the schools, but from the players themselves. They want to go into schools that actually have gaming or esports facilities available to them. So I only see that growing more traditional jobs across the board in terms of the esports market.
I think that's something that we see in traditional sports as well, is that there's so many ways to be involved outside of just playing. But then any examples of South Africans who've gone far?
Yeah. So there's a couple. I mean, there's a team called Bravado Gaming that a few years ago, they embarked on a project called Project Destiny for their CSGO team, where they essentially took it upon themselves to be able to fund a trip to North America. And from that side of things, they set up a house on that side and started competing. Essentially, some of those players have now made it onto the international scene. They're tied up with some of the biggest orgs in the world, or organizations, these tournament playing teams on their side. And then further from that, on our local player base side, we've seen players like Jabim representing South Africa on a major level in terms of Red Bull Kumite. They also had a qualifier this past weekend where I believe Mark the Shark won, and that's going to allow him to be able to compete on the international stage. Then when it comes down to FIFA or EAFC, we've seen some fantastic players come through the scene from those, the likes of Bravado Gaming, Goliath Gaming, and they've represented in Dubai in the EAFC finals on that side of things. We see Giulio Bianchi, he's a fantastic player, tried to also make it professional in sports in terms of football, but then started getting involved with esports and has done fantastically well. Kaelin Moodley, also fantastic player. So there's a number of success stories. They all broke through the mold in different ways. Some relied on the structures internally. Some took it upon themselves to actually go outside of South Africa to find their opportunities. And I guess that's our responsibility from our side. We just want to provide structure and grassroots development so our players don't necessarily have to leave our borders to try qualify for these international opportunities.
Bringing you the sport you care about the most, this is the Super Sports Schools Podcast. You might call it living your best life, but we call it Spur Cheeseburger Mondays. Because for only $84.90, Mondays become legendary when you can choose between 100% pure beef, succulent chicken, delicious soya, or tender rib cheeseburger, all served with Spur-style crispy onion rings and golden chips. So, when life gives you Mondays, enjoy a Spur cheeseburger. T's and C's apply. Spur, people with a taste for life.
Bringing you the sport you care about the most, this is the Super Sports Schools Podcast.
I like how you almost said EA in the voice during that. But it's cool that there are stories out there. It means that you can make it as a South African. You can be involved. I mean, you're involved with esport full time. So that's something as well that people can look at and know that it is something that they can do.
Yeah.
I talk about you being involved in esport. ACGL, Super Sports Schools, this isn't just a random interview. It was celebrating the start of some sort of partnership. So just to tell us a little bit about that.
So yeah, we've been chatting with Super Sports Schools for quite some time now, and they're very excited about esports and how to be able to get involved. So we'll be essentially, this is the announcement of us creating a brand new show called Gameplay. And that will be featuring on, I believe, the 9th of May, and that will be on Channel 216. Super Sports Schools is also going to get more involved in terms of our school leagues, being able to assist there with just content creation and being able to provide a spotlight once again, which is much needed on these players. I can't speak enough about how important this actually is, not just for us as a company at ACGL, but ultimately for the community, for the players. We know it is important that these stories get told, and that also we start to highlight some of those success stories that we mentioned, is that I think in the public sphere that they miss out on knowing how they can connect, how they can find out about these next opportunities, what What are these representatives, even outside of esports or outside of the esports traditional, just playing? There's commentators that have made it on a massive scale. So in terms of this partnership, ultimately, we know the Super Sports Schools wing brings a huge media partnership from their side of things. We want to provide that structure, and ultimately, we want to see that benefiting the players across the board. And we're honored to be able to be a part of this project, but ultimately very, very excited to be able to see how far we can take this and keep pushing it on the long term.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to see where it goes and to enjoy all the content that's going to be put out there. From ACGL's side of things, if anybody's watching, listening to this, and wants to get involved in esports, whether it just be a student who's seen this and thought, well, I play games, I want to compete, or if it's a school, maybe somebody involved at the school's watching and thinking, we need to get on the ball with this, what's the process for that?
So acgl.gg is where you need to be able to go to get pretty much all the information that you need. If you want to go directly to the school's channel, schools.acgl.gg, and there you can sign up your school, you can get yourself ready. There's a couple of processes obviously involved in the schooling side that's a little bit more intensive than that of our traditional platform. We host tournaments pretty much every single week for a number of titles across the board. So get involved. It's as easy as that. Everything's free to enter. Once again, we really do believe in the model of making this as easy and accessible to the public as possible.
And you mentioned that you run tournaments for a bunch of titles.
Yeah.
So some of those titles being?
So, wow, there is probably a list of around about 40 at this point in time. So when it comes down to mobile games, EAFC Mobile, we've got Free Fire on the regular. Then I'm going to move across to console. EAFC is probably one of the big ones across the board. We do that for old gen as well as new gen. We also obviously do Call of Duty, is a big fan favorite amongst the community. Such a vocal and lovely community on that side of things. When it comes down to Fortnite, is also a big, big title across the board still to this day. We do chess on the schooling side of things, as you mentioned. Clash Royale, Brawl Stars, the fighting games across the board, Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat. There's so many titles that we do. But if you want to check that out, just hit on the games channel and you'll get the full list of what is active at the moment. And there's regular cash prizes also to be able to be won on that side of things, as well as prizes across the board. So, that's a basic list of some of the titles that we have up for offer.
Oh, it does sound exciting. Do you have a personal favorite?
I do. So mine is probably Call of Duty and League of Legends. I'm a heartthrob for Call of Duty just because that's my competitive gaming community. I feel from way back when, where I tried to make it on the professional side of things. So that's probably my favorite, but I just want to see us actually stretching a little bit further for the opportunity creation in that space. It has been largely fragmented over the years, but it is a big, big favorite of mine. And I just desperately want to see them on the international stage.
Okay, cool. Just before we get to the quiz and round out the show, I want to get your views and your thoughts on esports into the future now in South Africa, where you think it's going, or perhaps where you want it to go, and what you think needs to be done to get it there.
So ultimately, the big thing with esports, it's still very much in what I believe is a privileged space in terms of South Africa. I want us to be able to see a wider democratization of the space. And once again, that comes down to accessibility. So being able to see lower cost data in terms of informal spaces to be able to get the communities involved on that side of things is absolutely huge. Further from that, when it comes down to the structuring of this, I think we see this as a 5-year goal in terms of being able to broaden out to the rest of sub-Saharan Africa and being able to essentially provide international competitions where possible. Ideally, as well, from a South African perspective, I want us to be able to have an international event coming down into Cape Town quite soon, really pushing hard for that and trying to see what we can do on that side. So I think, once again, just pushing the structures, pushing the opportunities and trying to push as much as possible for the localization of play, which means that not necessarily everybody has a PlayStation, right? Not everybody has an Xbox. We are going to be going to malls across South Africa, for example, to be able to give players an opportunity to qualify for bigger events. We're going to break that out a little bit further, hopefully being able to find some more operators around those regions to run sub-qualifiers into those events. So for us, it's just about spreading it wider and wider and wider, more opportunity creation across the board. And yeah, just keep on going. It's been a long journey so far. It's been, as I mentioned, 12 years for myself personally, but 9 years for ACGL. We think that there's still a long road to be able to go, but that's exciting. I think structure is not something that we take lightly. We know it's vitally important. And even internally, we're constantly reviewing that from our side of things, just so we can provide more players with opportunity and hopefully a road for them to success or just to have fun as well.
Well, it sounds like it's been an exciting journey and that there is a lot more still to come and that's going to be exciting. So we're going to be standing by watching what happens and hopefully being partnered for a while with Supersport School. So I'm definitely keen to see it happen. And I wish that when I was at school, it was a bit more structured because then I might even have been involved and then who knows what would have happened. I mean, I played sport, obviously, never higher than a C or D team. So maybe maybe I missed my calling. But yeah, thanks so much for sharing that. We're going to go now to the Supersport Schools podcast quiz. You will get 60 seconds to answer as many questions correctly as you can. If you don't know the answer, just say pass.
Okay.
And we'll go to the next question. Quite often people get stuck up on a particular question when
okay.
they should just say pass and we move on to the next one. High score at the moment is 7.
Okay.
So,
wow.
I think if you get 5, you might get onto the leaderboard. We just had quite a few people get 5. So you'll probably get on the leaderboard if you get 5, I think.
Okay.
And the top 5 are on the leaderboard, but
wow, no, I don't know what to expect. I'm excited.
It is the first time that our quiz is going to have any questions to do with esports as well. So,
okay.
So, but it is a complete mix of all sorts of sports. All right. Nick Holden from ACGL, are you ready?
Yes.
Let's get it going. All right. Your 60 seconds starts now. True or false? Sia Khaleesi's debut as captain against England saw the Springboks achieve the greatest numerical comeback in Tier 1 Test rugby history.
I'm going to say true.
Yeah, that's correct. Which school won the 2024 St. Mary's Festival, Durban Girls College or UNISI?
I'm going to go Durban Girls College.
Correct. In a one-on-one Clash Royale match, how many towers does a player typically have?
3.
Correct. True or false? The 14th Vilaclava Festival took place last week?
False.
That's correct. What is the name of the rugby position between the two props in a scrum?
Hooker.
Correct. In what year was Fortnite originally released? 2016, 17 or 18?
17.
That's correct. What is the best-selling games console of all time?
PlayStation 2.
Correct. How many holes are there on a regular golf course? That's correct. Which women's pro tier has the highest ODI average of just under 45?
Pass.
It's Laura Wolfart and time is up. I just do have to explain one. So I asked you if the 14th Vilaclava Festival took place last week. You said false. It is false because as we record this, it's happening. But as this airs, it was last week.
Yeah.
But you're right.
Perfect.
I just was silly putting that as a question. So we're going to give that to you. Let me just add it up quickly. So it's 8.
Yes.
8.
Get in.
It's a new record.
Lovely.
So the expert from the gaming league is the one who takes the top of our quiz. So
That's
another game we could do online, a quiz.
I'm way too proud about this moment right now.
8. That's the high score for the season. We've had, I don't know, at least 12, 13 weeks that no one has got more than 7. So congratulations and well done. You shoot to the top of our leaderboard. I think that's a great way to end just before we leave it. Anything else you want to add and details of where people can find ACGL? You've given the website already, but if there's anywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, we're all over social media on that side of things. So if you guys want to just be able to type in ACGL in terms of pretty much Facebook, Instagram, Twitter as well. There's variations, African Cyber Gaming League or African Esports. But then we're also streaming regularly on Twitch on our side of things, but we'll be essentially doing more with Supersport Schools on that side in terms of the casts. And then, yeah, if you want to be able to catch us, those are the channels, acgl.gg. You can find all of our channels there. And as a last word, I just want to say once again, thank you, Alex. I really do appreciate you having us here or having myself here and just providing us with this opportunity. We can't wait to be able to work a little bit further with Supersport Schools. And once again, just put a spotlight on our scene.
Awesome. I think that's a big part of it is giving everybody their time to shine. And that's what we're a big part of. So, yeah, thanks for chatting today. And I'm looking forward to seeing where it all goes. Yeah. Thanks so much.
This has been the Super Sports Schools Podcast, bringing you stories of our future stars, powered by Spurs Steak Ranchers.